I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know, for God will give me victory if onward I shall go. I'm going on, I'm going on, until the final triumph. I'm going on, I'm going on, I'm going on, until the final triumph. I'm going on. Should opposition come, should foes obstruct my way, should persecution's fires be lit as in the ancient day, with Jesus by my side, his peace within my soul, no matter if the battle's hot, I mean to win the goal. I'm going on, I'm going on, unto the mighty triumph. I'm going on, I'm going on, I'm going on, unto the final triumph. I'm going on. I see a shining crown awaiting over there. I see a mansion all prepared and decked with beauties rare. Shall that which intervenes deprive me of my rights? Nay, on I'll go until I reach that city of delight. I'm going on, I'm going on, unto the final triumph. I'm going on, I'm going on, I'm going on, unto the final triumph. I'm going on. Then forward let us go, our hearts with love aflame, our snowy banners borne aloft, inscribed with Jesus' name. The host of evil flee, and heaven's open gates invite me now to hasten where eternal glory waits. I'm going on, I'm going on, unto the final triumph. I'm going on, I'm going on, I'm going on, unto the final triumph. I'm going on.
Are you going on? This is encouraging to be able to remember the hope that we have and the opportunity to be a servant during this particular time. Before we invite our singer for the next song, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful again that we can be with you this morning. The couple of us that are here in the building, normally filled with people. But Lord, we know your word says wherever two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of us. And we don't have to be in the same physical space. We can be gathered the way we are. And Lord, you can be present with each one. Fill us, dear God, with your spirit this morning. Lord, help us be certain and confident that, Father, you're still in charge. You are still our God, that you're able to bring us through whatever storm awaits us, and that we are going on. So as we continue with this broadcast, we ask you to be present, accomplish your work, speak to each heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you still have that Evening Light hymnal handy, or your app, and please turn to number 190, He Hideth My Soul.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me.
He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed with his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
He covers us. He covers us with his hand. In Isaiah, the scripture tells us that the Lord is like an eagle, and he spreads his wings over us and covers us. In other places, we hide in the rock, and we know the rock is Christ Jesus. So we have this assurance of safety, of faith, comfort, even in the midst of the storm. And that's the subject of our thought this morning, is resting in the midst of the storm. We certainly are in a storm. It's a storm unlike another that most of us have ever been in. I was thinking a week or so ago, have we ever gone through a time like this in our history? And I suppose if you go back a couple hundred years, or in the middle of the 19th century, there were storms in this country that rival the one that we're in now. But when has it ever been that the whole world was going through some kind of a storm at the same time? And so here we are. We're in week 3 here of our portion of the storm. meaning that from the time that we've been asked to shelter in place, it's been about 3 weeks, a little bit longer perhaps, but here we are. We're in the midst of this pandemic. These are words that we never knew before. We didn't know what pandemic meant. We didn't know about sheltering in place, or isolation, or mitigation, things that now are words that are becoming part of our vocabulary. But here we are. We're back again. My name is David Goebel. I'm the pastor of this congregation of the Church of God, which meets at 5334 Whitney Avenue. We're glad you're with us. I'd like to ask you, how has your week been? For some of us, we were working perhaps on a limited schedule, maybe at home or at the workplace. Fewer of us. Life hasn't been normal. I know that some of us have been laid off. Some of you have lost your jobs. Some furloughed. Most of us spending much more time at home, either in our own homes or with family at home. I hope each of us are taking precautions about what they're telling us to do to be safe. And so anyway, here we are. We're anxiously following the news of this illness and this pandemic, and anxious to see if it's slowing down or growing or what the trend is or the trajectory. We just want our normal lives back. We want the way it used to be. I think each of us feel that way. And as we think about all this morning we're going to continue in our study to address the impact of this pandemic in our daily lives. Last week we spoke about the interaction of the fear that comes with this on our peace, how it can disrupt it. We talked about the fact that a real relationship with God can restore that peace. And we addressed the effect on our cohesion or our knitting together, both in our congregations and in our public lives. We feel a bit unraveled because of this thing. It's affected our nation, our cities, and threatens to tear apart the fabric that up to this point held us together. Well, as God's people, our desire is that that wouldn't happen, that our faith, both in our own lives and also our families and those that we touch, would be able to help to knit back together during this crisis the communities that we're part of. So I'd like to speak to each of you this morning, continuing along this thought, regarding the rest that we have in Christ, or the lack of it, and see if this helps. I hope it does. The rest, the Bible also calls our Sabbath, the biblical word for rest. And the question then is, are we resting? In what are we resting? And what still affects our ability to rest? You know, I'm led to believe that the human needs to rest. We need certain hours of every day where we need to have physical rest. But we also need hours during the day where we can just be with ourselves, our thoughts, and not be so occupied by the worries of the world. And that's difficult to do at times like this. And our hope is that through our faith in God and a personal relationship with Christ, that we can access the spiritual rest, but also the emotional, the mental rest that we all desperately need as well. We can tune in, but there needs to be times during the day when we tune out. Tune out with God. Now, up to this point in our societal lives, many have thought that the Lord is kind of yesterday's news. He's not as necessary, perhaps, in this modern age as perhaps some have thought. Well, I think we're finding that we need something bigger than us. We need something to connect us somehow with hope, with a future. And this is part of what the Lord does for us. So I believe that the Christian today has much to offer in our society. And I hope that we find our space. And if our space has been taken by certain ideas in our society, that somehow our space, it begins to grow. And that we offer something for a world which is suffering. So that's our thought this morning. Are you resting? And are you resting in Christ? There are many examples of storms in the Bible that threaten rest. And I suppose we would all agree that in the times that we're in now, we're in a storm. I know for myself, perhaps up to this point, rarely in my lifetime have I experienced a storm like this. I can recall, of course, the economic crash in 2009. I remember what happened. I can recall certain economic disruptions in my lifetime. I can recall, of course, as many of us can, what it felt like to watch the images of 9/11. And if you're older, you can recall what it was like during Vietnam, Korea, and for some still, the Second World War. Where you were on Pearl Harbor, perhaps, if you were alive, things like that. But for most of us, especially those that were born after 2001, after 9/11, this is unprecedented. And so it is a storm. This is a severe storm for us. Very uncertain. The future is not clear. But you know, the scripture gives us many examples of storms. And one of the reasons for that is that the Lord might be able to help us understand how to navigate the storm and how to come out of a storm still attached to Him, still His people, still with whatever He desires to display in us. I was thinking of a short list, and I didn't, you'll be thankful I only got through Exodus, of the different storms that the Bible begins with. Even after Adam and Eve, the flood was a terrible storm, and the consequences of the flood, and what it did with Noah. The tower that was built in Babel, and the terrible consequence of that storm upon humanity, as it's described in the Bible. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The terrible storm that was rained upon those people. And regardless of how one might feel their wickedness deserved that storm, think about the effect that it had on ordinary people. And it had the effect that it had on those that escaped. Jacob, as he wrestled by the river with the angel, the terrible and awful encounter that Jacob had with God. One might think that, oh, it was just something not so bad or whatever, but with Jacob, it broke Jacob. It changed his name, but it offered him a different future. The Exodus from Egypt by the people of Israel, and they found themselves pursued through the wilderness. The terrible storm that created for them. And they find themselves pursued by an enemy with no certain future. They didn't know what came next. Finding themselves at the banks of the sea with this enemy behind them, God between them, not understanding whether or not they would perish in that storm, in that desert. But in each of these storms that I mentioned, for whomever God used, there was an escape. There was an escape from those particular storms, and there are many others we know. You can go on and on. There are storms of individual faith. People who went through their own storms in the scripture. I'm thinking of Ruth, for example, and the storm that she endured to get back to her land, or the land that would become her land. I'm thinking of Esther and the threat to the existence of her people, and how Esther was used by God during that storm. And of course, the storm that our Lord endured, especially during his last days, and all that that means for us. All of these are examples of storms that God intends for us to learn from. These are threats to our existence. An existential threat is one that affects your ultimate concern. For most of us, our ultimate concern is our mortality. Am I going to live or am I going to die? And most of us don't live during the week thinking about this, but at times like this, our mind is brought to this point of this most existential threat that affects our ability to know, am I going to live or not? And if we're not there yet, certainly there are existential threats to our nation, to our healthcare system, even to those who are serving us at this time. They're dealing with real threats, threats to the existence of our modern way of life, threats to the existence of our economy, our jobs, our employers, the financing of all these things. These are issues of ultimate concern right now. Look, whether or not we find what we need in the supermarket, whether the shelves are empty, we can find a way around that. We can find a way. That's not an existential threat. But we're confronted now by these threats that threaten our existence, and I call this where the rubber meets the road. These are threats that where the rubber meets the road. This is where things happen. This is where we find ourselves. This past week, I was told by some members that their children are suffering. Their young people are suffering from worry and anxiety, and perhaps even depression during this storm. And this is heavy on my heart. It's why we're so adamant that our hope is not found in the absence of Christ, but that our hope is found in Christ. And this is why, as we find ourselves, all of us, our neighbors, people who don't go to church, people who don't believe in God, we find a kind of common human experience right now, all of us, that we're all confronting this storm together at this moment. And I wonder if we can begin to find with our neighbors and our friends and family, doesn't matter whether they believe in God or not, can we begin to find a kind of common humanity that helps us maybe start a conversation. Now, in the beginning of this conversation, the Christian will not lose the rock that he stands on or that she stands on. In other words, the Christian perspective and the Christian point of view, our ability to participate in this conversation comes from the point of view that we can't change. We serve a God. We serve God Himself, who informs us of who we are. Our identity is found in God. The God that we serve gives us a law. And the law is not, the Bible says, burdensome. It's not hard to bear. It's not a law that converts us into some kind of legalistic people. Not really. No. The law of God is the law of love. It is the law that allows us to live according to his will. It allows us to live the way he wants us to live. Holy and acceptable in his sight. Now, these are biblical words, but this is the law that informs us. And so as we enter into this common conversation with our friends and our neighbors, this is what we bring into the conversation. We can't sort of leave ourselves behind, set our religious selves aside, and then enter into this conversation in a sort of agnostic human way. That's really, a Christian can't do that. It's sort of, we've been dyed in this wool. We have been made this way by the blood of Christ. And this is how we are. We don't apologize for it. But at the same time, we're excited about the opportunity to be able to offer hope and some way to enter into this public discourse in our own little worlds in a way that can contribute to help and hope. And so that's our hope during this storm. We're talking about a rest in the middle of the storm. And we're sharing some ideas with you that come from Scripture that inform us about our rest and how we can help others into this rest. I mentioned that I've heard from members that families and children, young people, are suffering as well. And I really think that in our own families, we need to be open to this, and we need to be carefully observing and watching and helping our families, our children and young people, go through this time together with the faith that we bring into our homes. Help our children somehow get pieces of our faith, grab on to pieces of our faith so that they can go through this. They've never been through something like this before. They don't know how to think, how to react sometimes. And I'm not selling anybody short. I'm not presuming that one has faith and one doesn't, but this is what we can bring into our own families. The rest that we have during this storm is found in Jesus Christ. He is our rest. He is our Sabbath. He represents the antidote for this virus in terms of the fear and what the virus will take, not just from physical health, but from mental health, from emotional health, from our desire to be whole again. Christ represents ultimately the antidote for this. We cannot represent another cure as Christians. The cure that we represent is the antidote, which is Christ. It's been tried and tested. We know that our healthcare professionals are working on an antivirus, they're working on a vaccine. We're beginning to understand what these things mean and how long it will take and how difficult this process is. And we hope and pray that they come up with something soon that can help the world through this. In the meantime, we do represent an antidote which has already been tried and already been tested, already been approved. It's available. It exists in billions of doses, and that is Jesus Christ. We represent that. We know what it is. Always remember, as we go through this, the storm affects your peace. It'll take it away. And in a spiritual sense, the Bible tells us, the one who takes peace is Satan, the author of evil. The one who fills and the one who gives peace is God. That's why in the 23rd Psalm, our cup runs over. Our cup runs over, not because Satan is more powerful than God in taking our peace. Our cup runs over because God is more powerful than Satan. And he fills even sometimes as our vessel is leaky. He fills it to running over. We can't hold the grace of God that he desires to give each one. But we do need to be in a position to receive it. So let's talk about our rest a little bit further. If you'll go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to be in Matthew this morning in a couple of places. The 28th verse, the last three verses of that chapter. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus is our rest. And during a time when burdens get heavy, he still calls us, and he invites us that he might help us carry certain heavy burdens. Now we're going to differentiate between those burdens that we might remain with, but there's also a burden that he desires to take from us. I believe that this pandemic is not the real crisis today. It exposes a crisis that's been brewing for a long time. We've been living in a society for a long time that has pretended that it doesn't need God. But when something happens that's this big, all the fear and the worry and the despair, they come out of their holes, of their hiding places, to threaten us. The real crisis, then, is the pretense that we can survive without God. And what this pandemic is exposing in a more existential way, where the rubber meets the roadway, the real crisis is, can we survive as a species without God? My opinion is we cannot. That God is still that relevant. Now, there are some today in the modern world who profess that we've advanced past the need for God, that as a species we are now to depend on something else. Well, I don't believe that's possible, and that we can still survive as a large community. For a nation, a city, and yes, even a family, we need God. We still need God. Now, what threatens us is this very basic idea that whether or not I accept that reality, that I need God. And I think we're finding this real trouble, this real anxiety, this real fear that's in society today. It's so present because that idea in society has come to this place saying that God is not necessary. We can do this all by ourselves. And so when something this big happens, we're left with nothing to stand on, like a boat in an ocean without a rudder, adrift, totally at the mercy of the billows, of the waves. And we find that no, after all, we're not quite so capable. We're not quite as intelligent as we thought. And yes, we still need God. And Jesus tells us in these verses, come unto me, those of you that still need God, those of you that have been buffeted by this storm, come unto me, and I will still give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. That's why we said last week, the real ability to know God in a personal way during a storm like this is what will help us through. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. Now, there is a thought that even among Christians, that what he's offering here is an opportunity that we will give him every worry, every anxiety, every doubt, every fear, and we'll proceed from this point as if we don't have a care in the world, even during the midst of this storm. I don't believe that's what this is about. Now, I said earlier, there are two kinds of burdens I think that this addresses. We need to be careful to separate them. The first and most existential, the most severe of these burdens is the separation from God himself. The Bible calls it sin. But we can call it a separation from God. It creates a death of knowledge of God. It creates a kind of death, an alienation from God, this separation. When we come to Christ, the first thing he desires to do for us is to restore that relationship that we're meant to have with God. He allows us to have a belief, a faith that God is. And from that, his Spirit draws us to him. This is our experience. And in the completion of all that, what we're meant to have is a personal relationship with God, one that has restored that lost relationship, created an attachment with God that was broken by sin. And when he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The first rest that we're meant to have is a rest from sin. If we can't rest from sin, there is no rest in our soul. We might have a knowledge of God, but we are not formed in him. So that first rest, that real Sabbath, the Lord created on 6 days, and on the seventh he rested. That real rest is meant to come through Jesus Christ, and it comes from him taking that burden from us. That's the first burden that must actually be removed from us. But now, there are other burdens, other heavy weights that we carry or that we're affected by. And I believe, for most of us, those are going to be there even if God restores that right relationship with us. In many cases, many of those burdens, many of those weights, we'll still have to deal with. It's not practical to assume that we just skate through life, that there's never a confrontation with certain realities. Well, this also is where our true rest in Christ comes. Let me turn, and I'll explain this. Let me turn to Matthew chapter 6 now. This will be the second place in Matthew that we'll read from this morning. There's a passage here at the end of the chapter that deals with anxiety and worry. And in beginning in the 25th verse in chapter 6, the Lord is speaking and he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat or more than food, and the body more than raiment or more than clothing?" Now go back down to verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow or for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The thought here is Jesus is saying, my friends, followers, bad things are going to happen to us. In another place, his disciples asked him, a tower fell or some disaster fell, and Jesus reminded them that there was a tower that fell on certain, and they died. Do you think that they were sinners above everybody else? And Jesus said, no. He said, bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. That's not the rest that I'm offering you is taking away all the bad things that happen to you. That's not the rest I'm offering to you. I'm not going to surround you so that nothing bad happens to you. Now we have scripture that says that he will support us, he will affirm us, he will surround us, he will cover us, he'll carry us, he'll be our God. We have all of that. I'm talking about the human existence. The reason all of that carrying and comfort and support, the reason all of that is important to the Christian and to all of us is because we will go through hard times. We will suffer. We are going to meet where the rubber meets the road. Those kind of crises, that kind of storm. We will go through those things. We're going through them now. We're all in this together. No. The rest in this way is that as we carry those burdens, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. His ability to comfort us, and yes, even at times to carry us when we cannot walk ourselves. This ability of Christ is what he offers every man, woman, boy, and girl. That he is the rest, and the rest is our ability, or the comfort, or the Sabbath, is our ability to go through these crises with him, as opposed to without him. His presence creates the rest. I don't know about all of you, but I can recall a time in my life when I knew I had no rest. And yes, I had great opportunity. I had, as one person said once, great expectations once upon a time. And I can recall a friend of mine talking to me the first day that our senior year at college resumed about the rest that he had found. He might be listening today. Well, that rest has meant so much to me. In these past 38 or so years, the Lord has never abandoned me. To the best of my knowledge and my ability, I have not abandoned him. His rest has meant so much to me in these last few years, personal situations, family situations, when we needed this rest. And that introduction on that day still is real. It's still alive. And as we go through a storm like this, that rest for you can be the very same thing. You can feel the same way. I would encourage each of you to discover this rest, to find the Christ that offers this rest. This is not my opinion. It's not the opinion of our church. This is reality. We need rest. And the only way we're going to find the rest we need is in Christ Jesus. We can say, well, he's a product of religion. He's antiquated. It's an old-fashioned notion of some kind of rest. But no. At the end of the day, we'll still discover that the reality of rest is still in God through Jesus Christ. Now, the last verse that we have is in chapter 5 of Matthew, in verse 6. This is his Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and in verse 6, Jesus taught, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The rest that I'm speaking of that helps us through the midst of this storm, there's different ways to understand this, I suppose, but there really is only, there's only a certain way, I suppose, that we can actually acquire this rest. Someone says, "I hear you talking about this rest, and how am I going to participate in this?" Well, first I would advise you, find yourself, as we said recently, find yourself back in the present. Find yourself now. Remember we read in Matthew 6, Jesus was talking about anxiety and worry, and he was saying, look, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to come with all of its problems. There's enough trouble today to worry about. See? There's enough trouble today to worry about. Focus on right now. Stay here. Stay with me right now. Right now. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about after this broadcast, what'll happen next. You'll turn this off and maybe tune into something else. Stay here right now. And we're present right now with worry, things that are occupying our attention pretty much close right now. So I would say, someone says, "Bro, how do I find this rest?" First, bring yourself back into the present. God is in the present. The great I am is right now. So let's come back here right now. Don't let the 24-hour news cycle so get into your head that you can't find this rest. It will compete with the rest. It will threaten the rest. An overload of information. Bring yourself back here. We do need to be informed, but after you're informed, turn it off. Really, turn it off. Try and find a place to meditate on the rest of God. So come back into the present. The second thing I would advise, someone says, how do I find this rest? The second thing is, as he said here in this verse here in verse 6, check your desire. What is it that you want? Really? Dude, you want relief? Relief is not rest. Relief is a temporary abatement, a temporary stoppage of the problem. And then after it's over, I'm going back to life as it was. Well, if what we really need is that reconnection with God that before this I didn't have. You don't want relief, you want rest. You want rest. And so I would say, secondly, check your desire. What is it that you want? God will allow you to have what you want. If you want rest, then we have to check our desire. Blessed are they that are hungry and thirsty after God, because he'll fill them to overflowing. Blessed are they that are hungry and thirsty. Are you hungry and thirsty for God? Not just for relief, so that we can start over, but for God. And the last thing is, if you really want rest, the Lord will send it. Unload everything that you know of that is unlike Christ. Come to a place of prayer and do business with God in your own little prayer time, and unload everything that you know God isn't pleased with. And let him know, I'm hungry and thirsty, not just to escape this present problem. I'm hungry and thirsty for you. And then he'll grant your desire. I know it to be true. Many of us do. So I would recommend these three things. Find a present with God. Find a right now. Turn off everything else. Find right now with God. The second would be, check your desire. Do you really want this? And the third would be unload. Submit ourselves to the reality of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He'll answer our prayer. He'll help us to find rest. The second step is really important, because if we don't really have an honest desire, and if we don't really unload everything to want the holiness of God, it's going to be difficult for you to find the rest you seek. Well, we're glad that we can offer you just this morning, and I hope that it's been of some help. Think about it. There is a rest in the middle of this storm, and it's found in Christ. As I close, I would ask you, let us know how you're doing. We have a website. You can find us at Church of God Carmichael. Send us a note, how you're doing. Call us, leave a message. We're checking our messages. Our next broadcast of this kind will be this coming Sunday, this next Sunday, at this same time at 10 o'clock. You can find us also on YouTube at Church of God in Carmichael. There are other videos there. And if there's any way we can help, obviously we're limited like you are. If there's anything we can help anybody, let us know. Get a hold of us. We'll find a way somehow. We're sheltering at home as you are. Sunday mornings, there's just a couple of people here to help us broadcast. Our singers have finished, and there's only two or three or four of us here. So we want you to know we're being safe. We pray for your safety and your health. We really do. As we close, we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we once again thank you for the time that we've spent together. We appreciate each one that joined us in the broadcast. Father, help us to be able to think on these things during today and the days that come. And Lord, especially, we pray for the health and safety of our congregation and our friends that are joining us in congregation this morning. Lord, our families, our neighbors, this week coming up, we pray especially for our healthcare workers, those that are working in hospitals and associated with people trying to help those that are sick. We don't know where this storm is headed. Keep us connected to our faith in Christ. Help us to help our children as they struggle to find their way through this storm. Lord, we so appreciate our past that has brought us to this present. We've been able to go through some things before. It's given us some experience. But for most of us, we've never been anything like this. We need an extra measure of grace and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and goodbye.